Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mike is with us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, thanks for joining us on short notice. Great piece this morning because I think it reiterates the whole notion of, you know, franchise quarterback, what does it really mean? How do you get there? And what these plays at the end of the game, the interpretation is there. So, Mike, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to be here.
So let's backtrack just a little bit. What was the motivation when you sat down to write the piece?
I get a lot of motivation just from reading about all the games. And so I was just reading it, and I think I read a column somewhere that was kind of critical of, hey, this is where Mayfield has to step up. And one of the things I've learned just from doing this a long time and then studying how the games are won is just how hard it is to score a touchdown when you need a touchdown to win and have to go a long way late in a game, right? And we have in our minds the times when Joe Montana did it and Tom Brady did it, but, like, they don't do it every time or most of the time. You know what I mean? It's right. There's a lot of games like this one the other day where you got it, you make some yardage, and it peters out for whatever reason. So even if Baker Mayfield had led them down the field and somebody had broken a couple tackles and made an amazing play and ran it in, I mean, that's awesome, but then you could see it going the other way where people are like, oh, he's arrived and he's Mahomes. Well, that's not how it is, right? I mean, these little slices of games that happen so infrequently aren't necessarily defining based on the result of the drive. They're defining on the legacy and the fun and what we think of them, but there's just not enough of them for us to say that this is really overly meaningful. And I showed that in the piece by showing, look, Brock Osweiler did it and Peyton Manning didn't do it. So what does that mean?
That's a great point. Great point.
So, Mike, if that's not something you factor into what makes a great quarterback and whatever else you want to put onto that, what does? What do you look at when determining who you think is a great quarterback?
Well, absolutely. You can just see when they play. I do my quarterback tiers poll every offseason. I talk to 50 people in the league, and in the end we have Patrick Mahomes comes out on the top, not because that one time in this one situation it went good or bad, but because collectively over the course of all of his games and all of his plays, we can see that he's different. And we know that in general he can handle the pure passing situations when your running game's not there, when we have to put it on our back. And in theory, that's what that situation is late in the game. But you can't just zoom in on a five-play sequence and say that that's enough to measure him on, right? No matter who it is, right? Because we've seen Andy Dalton take his team down 80 yards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen him fall flat on his face, but that's not – we're measuring him off of 5 or 10 years of watching him play, and that's what we do for the players, right? We know Tom Brady's better, and we know Patrick Mahomes is better. And because they're better over a long period of time, they may have more of those moments that we can draw from. But surprisingly few, there's only in the last 10 years, I found 61 situations that were really close to this one. That's 6 a year in the whole league. Huh.
So I'm just digging a little bit deeper on this. How would you define that franchise quarterback? Because Jeff and I have this conversation all the time. We're like, franchise quarterback doesn't really mean anything to me or Jeff, because like you said, you know it when you see it. Is that the only criteria?
Well, here's the mistake that gets made. When we think of a franchise quarterback, are we talking about half the league or the four guys who are truly special? Right? Because at any time in a league, there's been Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady, right? And now you might say, okay, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, maybe he's in there, right? But there's four guys. So if that's what we think a franchise quarterback is, then no one else is ever going to pay their quarterback, right? But the reality is you don't get to have one of those guys. I mean, unless you just happen to find one. You're always looking. So is Kirk Cousins a franchise quarterback to you?
He's the guy they have right now.
Yeah.
But you have to pay that guy if you're going to have him, right? Like, if you want to have Baker Mayfield on your team, and I think he's better than Kirk Cousins, I would rather have him. But I also think that it's probably unlikely that he's going to be Patrick Mahomes or even Russell Wilson, right? It's probably unlikely. I mean, those guys are Hall of Famers, right?
Correct.
So you have someone that's in between. I think you can win with those guys. Now, what I want, to me, what the franchise quarterback is kind of like the top two tiers. That second tier is going to have Matt Ryan in it, right? And when everything is right for Matt Ryan and the offensive line is good and they have weapons, he has a great play caller, he might be the MVP. But if you put him out there the other day and he's got a bad team around him, and he's playing against a team with a really good defensive line, he's not necessarily, like, making it all better. You know what I mean? But he can be a Pro Bowl quarterback. I think you can win the championship with somebody like that if you have it good enough around him. Matt Stafford has been that type of player on a really bad situation. Tony Romo was that type of player. I think these are really good players. I think we can envision Baker Mayfield being that type of player, right?
I can.
Yes.
A Pro Bowl quarterback, right? We think he could be a Pro Bowl quarterback, right? We think he could go to three or more Pro Bowls in his career, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're saying if we're putting you in the franchise mold. And then you have to build everything right around him to win it all. And that's hard to do because, remember, Aaron Rodgers only won it once. Even when you have that guy, you may not win it, right? Drew Brees won it once.
And Peyton Manning won it twice.
Won it twice, and one year he wasn't even good, and his defense was amazing. And the other year he won it, when they beat the Bears, people don't know this, he had three touchdowns and seven picks in the playoffs. Bob Sanders came back. They were lights out on defense, right?
let me ask you just brought up a name, Mike, that I wanted to bring up to you. And I wonder if it's a trend, if it's the beginning of something we see more of in the NFL. Jared Goff signs a long-term contract in Los Angeles. They decide, we could upgrade here. And they trade him for an older guy who was terrific in Detroit, yet didn't have that kind of success. And at least through one game and through everything you hear and read, Matthew Stafford is a difference maker out there for the Rams. And now the difference here with Baker Mayfield is Jared Goff was under contract. Baker's not under contract. Could you see that type of thing starting to happen where a team decides, we don't want the investment in this guy, even though he's the guy playing that quarterback position for us right now, and we go out and we get a veteran who we like more?
Yes, I do think so, because I think as we're having possibly younger GMs or whatever, people are just more willing to cut their losses. It takes an owner willing to do it, too. But the thing about quarterbacks or coaches or any of this, you have to choose from what's actually available to you. Right? I mean, we all want to have Mahomes. Can't have him. So the Rams were in a situation where they were like, hey, we have Goff and whatever. It's gotten a little sour here. Stafford was suddenly available. So that's what makes you decide to do it, right? Otherwise, like, you can't always just upgrade or get the guy you want. They have to be available. And I think as an organization, when that person's available – and you think they're an upgrade, then that's kind of a bold move. Then you have to, the whole calculus is, okay, is it worth giving up whatever it takes to get them, you know? For the Baker versus Stafford thing, though, like, the Rams allowed 14 points. You know
what
I mean?
That helps.
Like, Baker Mayfield wins that game. All the quarterbacks win the game when the other team scores 14 points. The problem is when you get to play Kansas City, that even if you're good on defense, they're going to score 29 or 30 or 31, right?
Yep.
And then you have a chance to beat them if you're really good, but you're probably not going to beat them a lot, right? You might be lucky to beat them 40% of the time if you're really good. I think the Browns are good.
I think they
come out of that game and they're like, look, the Chiefs don't want to play the Browns every week after that game. You know what I mean? You could see a way they could win the game.
Yeah, is there such thing as a good loss then? I mean, I'm looking at the Browns going, that really, and Browns fans are not down at all after that game. Is there such thing?
Yeah. I think so for the stage of where your team's at. And they're still fairly early in the process here. I mean, right? Second year for the coach. I thought it was pretty good. And like I said, they led the game for 75% of the plays. The Chiefs led it for 14%, and they were tied for the rest. Well, that's pretty good. Pretty good if they don't have a turnover here or there, right? It was. You have to look at how the game went. It wasn't like it was just too big of a game for the Browns and Baker Mayfield threw three picks in the second half, right?
Correct.
You know what that feels like when you know you're not close. So I thought it was pretty good.
Mike, let me finish with this. You've laid out all kinds of really interesting information about quarterbacks. If you're the Browns, how interested are you in signing Baker Mayfield to what is certainly going to end up being, I would think, just because of the way the market goes, a top five type of contract?
You know, in theory, when I'm sitting there presenting at an analytics conference, I don't like it. In reality, I probably like it. In reality, I probably do it and try to build my team around that. Unless I think I can get somebody who's appreciably better. Do you really want to go into that thing where you're, hey, every 5 years we draft a guy and we just take our chances? I mean, that sounds good, but that's really not realistic for your team, is it? Like you're just going to take the next Baker Mayfield? Does that
work? We know
that
doesn't work real well. At least it hasn't worked here.
It doesn't. Yeah, like hopefully you think that he is. I think the cutoff in my mind is then, like, is he a, do you think he can be one of the 10 best quarterbacks? Kind of in that range. If you're in that range, you're sort of in those top couple tiers. I think this is a good year for him to prove that he's in that. I like the way they're doing it. Like, let's feel really good about it. Because you're just not 100% sure how good, right? You think he's good, but how good? You'd like to see him make the difference a few times and feel good about it, you know? It's just a hard thing in a league when there's four special guys. There's probably seven or eight really good guys, but the top 20 guys get paid like they're the top 10 guys.
like they're really special, Mike.
And then that holds you back, and then suddenly you're Minnesota, right? Like, what's the best case scenario for Minnesota this season? Make the wild card?
True.
Right?
True. Yeah. Yes, I would agree.
Yeah, and, like, they're not winning the championship, right? They're not going to the Super Bowl. But they have a pretty good quarterback. It just makes it hard in the other areas. So I want to know. I want to feel like he's definitely in those top two tiers. And I think he was coming in, you know, he sort of got into the borderline of 2-3 where people in Cleveland probably think he's a 2. And from afar, you want to see more. And maybe this is the more year, right? You see a little more and enter into it and go from there.
One last question for you, just while we got you online. What do you think of the Steelers, especially after week one last night? It was a great win for them over Buffalo.
I'm still skeptical over the course of a full season with Ben Roethlisberger and their offense and just doing it for 17 games. I thought it was a great win. I thought defensively they were amazing. But remember, they scored. Didn't they score? Did they score on a blocked punt? They scored in an unconventional way and still barely won. So that's great. I just don't know offensively how good they're going to be over the course of the season. I think that'll limit them and probably have them come in under Cleveland as a result.
Mike, thank you for joining us on short notice. The read is an outstanding one, and you know, kind of opened my mind to some stuff too. The headline is "The Myth of the Winning Drive Quarterback and Why Baker Mayfield Didn't Blow It Against the Chiefs." Really appreciate you joining us today. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.